Mike, good morning to you.
Good morning, Big Joe.
How are you, man? Good to talk to you, as always.
Good to talk to you, too.
You're my Nashville sports historian, and we got a lot of ties here to the Super Bowl. Let's start with the Eagles and a guy you know pretty well. Dennis Harrison played on the first Super Bowl team for the Eagles back in 1980. You know, you think about Super Bowl in Nashville, you don't have a lot because you know think about the Titans. But before the Titans got here, we had a nice little history. Dennis Harrison, Mike, for some reason, is the first guy that comes to my mind.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Dennis Harrison was one of the first really big-time pros to come out of the mid-state. I mean, that just he was a slam dunk. You knew it was going to happen going all the way back to his days at Riverdale. Not only as a great football player, but a fantastic wrestler. He just had everything that needed. He was equipped with everything that it took to be a great professional. You know, they called him Bigfoot. He has a size 18 shoe. And, you know, for him, for Dennis to excel and make it as far as he did to the Super Bowl was not a surprise to anybody, I don't think.
You know, we had Herm Edwards on the show one time or years ago and talk about Dennis Harrison and just, you know, he's a DB on the team. And here's Dennis Harrison, 6'8", 6'9", whatever tall he was, and just the impact he had on that team. And, of course, they got beat by the Raiders in the Super Bowl down in the Superdome. But it was just – when I go back to me, he's – and I know there's others, and we'll get to him, but to me, he's a guy growing up here. Like, he's massive. He went to Vanderbilt. He played in the Super Bowl. So he's all right with me.
And then he came back and coached at Vanderbilt for several years, mostly on Woody Woodenhofer's staff. And then he spent some time coaching high schools. And I believe today is still coaching at a middle school. And even as much as that, his kids, of his 12 kids, I believe seven received college scholarships. And two or three played on the professional level. Isabel Harris is still playing on the professional level. And his youngest daughter, Dorian, was named the SEC Player of the Week this week for her performance, for what she did last week at Kentucky in basketball. So not only was Dennis did we see Dennis's impact back then, it's still being seen today.
Oh, absolutely. A guy that, you know, he played in the with the Whites Creek, Shelton Quarles. A lot of guys forget about him. You know, he won a Super Bowl with Tampa in 2002. Played at Vandy, went to Whites Creek. He's another guy that comes to mind when I think about not only, you know, where Dennis Harrison did not win a Super Bowl, that Shelton was lucky enough that he did win a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and it's still in the NFL today, working back at Tampa Bay, working in the front office. And Shelton was, like you said, he just never made the big, huge name like a player like Dennis did, but just played so solidly all the way throughout his career at White Creek, Vanderbilt, and then in the NFL. And, made it all the way to the Super Bowl. Another strong connection there.
Yeah, it gets it. Let me ask you this, Mike. You've covered this area for a long, long, long time. Who's the best high school football player you ever saw?
Good question. One of the best that I ever covered was Antonio London. Tullahoma, went on to play several years in the NFL, 9 or 10 years in the NFL. He was a fantastic player. Chris Gaines was an outstanding high school player who I covered. And then I would have to put Joe Campbell in that mix too. Joe Campbell was, an incredible running back, but was probably an even better defensive back. Could have gone to UT as a defensive back easily, but wanted to play running back in college. So he went on to MTSU where he set the all-time rushing record, which still stands today.
Yeah, I was going to say, with Campbell, I mean, he's probably at the top of the list locally, you know, and had a nice career at MTSU.
Now, another one that I didn't cover, but I remember well, and going back to the Super Bowl, Joe Gilliam Jr. Was a great player here in town and went on to do this, be just as remarkable at Tennessee State. Then goes into the NFL and becomes the second African-American quarterback to start, and not only starts, but leads Pittsburgh in 1974 to the Super Bowl. and then loses his position toward the end of the season to somebody that your listeners might remember, Terry Bradshaw, who took him the rest of the way. Bradshaw later admitted he did not beat Gilliam out. Gilliam had had a bad season, and a bad game against, I think it was the Raiders, and the fans started clamoring for Bradshaw to return, and Chuck Noll kind of relented, and that's what he did. He gave him, he put Bradshaw back at made him the starter again, and Gilliam kind of watched the Super Bowl, the playoff run through the Super Bowl from the bench, which he had gotten them there. But he not only played on the Pittsburgh team that won that Super Bowl, but then also played the following year when the Steelers returned to the Super Bowl. So he's got two rings, had two rings.
You know, Mike, that's a great point about Joe Gilliam, because I talked to Bradshaw was in town like 2 years ago, and I asked him about that, you know, being back here and, you know, Nashville, TSU, and Joe Gilliam Jr. was here, and he's like, Bradshaw said, I had 1/10 of the talent Joe Gilliam had. He was that much better than I was. And it was lucky, and by circumstance, I was able to become the quarterback of Pittsburgh. But, you know, it's well documented. Joe had a lot of demons and after that. But my God, he could throw the football. And that's, you know what? I completely forgot about him. That's right, Mike. Mike Organ, the Tennessean, joining us today with all the Nashville Super Bowl connections. You know, one that we like to bring up every time the Patriots go, Mike, is Bill Belichick, born here. Only lived here for a year. And, you know, it's like he remembers anything. But his, for those who don't know, Belichick's father coached at Vanderbilt in the 50s. And then he was here for a year, then left and go to the Naval Academy. But Belichick has an affinity for Vanderbilt, Mike. I mean, he loves Vanderbilt University.
He does. And in fact, this week at the Super Bowl, Jim Wyatt, a former Tennessean sports writer at Network for the Titans, was wearing a Vanderbilt hat. And during the press conference, Belichick recognized him and said, anchor down. And another one of his infinities is with Vanderbilt is that his fiance, Linda Holiday, graduated from Vanderbilt. Belichick did. In fact, I wrote a story this past week about all the current connections with the Super Bowl, and I mentioned Belichick and Linda. They both ran the Nashville Marathon, by the way, in 2014, the half marathon. They did. And she retweeted and commented on it. So I appreciated that because it got me
running. Look at you, Mike. You know what I thought was cool? I'm going to say what I think was cool about Belichick. You know, he came to town last year, and he worked out Adam Butler, undrafted free agent. And I think it might have been 2 years ago when he came to town, he spent a whole afternoon, Mike, what I was told Bill Belichick did, with Bill Wade before he passed away.
He did. That was after the marathon because he tried to go by and see him the day of the marathon. And actually, I think he did. I think he and Philip Fulmer visited on the same day in 2014. And then, yes, he came back. I'm good friends with Bill Wade's daughter, and she called to let me know that he was coming back during the time what you were talking about. So he got to spend time with him twice in Bill Wade's latter years. Speaking of Bill Wade, Joe, Bill Wade led the Chicago Bears to the NFL championship in 1963, a win over the Giants. He threw both touchdown passes in that game. That predated the Super Bowl, but it was the same thing pretty much. So there's yet another connection. And speaking of the Patriots, Richard Dent from the Tennessee State was Super Bowl 20 MVP in that route over the Patriots. What was it? 46-10 or 20.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Super Bowl shuffle year. That's Richard Dent. There's yet another connection because he was a great Tennessee State player.
And then we've got one, but if they would have just had won one Super Bowl, Will Walford would be up there in that discussion. Of course, he was on the four Bills teams that got beat in the Super Bowl. They lost four straight Super Bowls. If they would have just won one Super Bowl, we would see that team and him and everybody in a completely different light.
We would. You're exactly right. And what a, you know, I grew up a Vikings fan, so I have a little empathy with what the Bills went through because the Vikings have been to the Super Bowl a few times and never won it, but nothing like the Bills. Tough thing for Will, but what a great guy. And Will recently stepped down as a coach up in Kentucky after a very successful high school coaching career.
Hey, let me ask you, did you get to meet Belichick when he was here in 14?
No, I was covering the marathon, but when I cover the marathon, I cover the nitty-gritty part of it, the winner. I'm kind of like what you call the beat writer. So we use our ancillary writers to kind of cover the side shows, that kind of thing. So Chip Cirillo relied on Kim Detweiler to chart Belichick throughout the marathon, the half marathon, and then Chip called him afterwards, and he didn't have a lot to say, period. So we didn't get anything out of it at all, but I didn't have anything to do with it.
It's funny because speaking of Kim, we had the and I'm doing air quotes here, the VIP before the marathon at one of the honky-tonks down there. And Bill was there, and I talked to him for a minute. He couldn't have been more pleasant. I mean, he was so nice, took pictures of everybody. I mean, it was a 180 of the gruff exterior that we see during the Super Bowl on the sidelines. He was wonderful. In fact, I told Kim afterwards, I said, I think that's a clone. I don't think that's Bill Belichick. I think that they made a clone because this guy is so nice, taking pictures and everything, and it was a 180, Mike, of what we saw on TV. So, yeah, thank you, Kim Burton, for letting us do that because he was great, man, and that's it. Well, Mike Organ from the Tennessean joins us this morning on here live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Yeah, Mike, you were going to say?
Well, my closest connection with Belichick came in 94 when Vanderbilt made the stellar hire of hiring Rod Dowhower as its head coach to replace Jerry DiNardo. And I went up and spent after Dowhower took the job, the Browns made it all the way to the AFC Championship game, I believe, where they lost to the Steelers. And so Rod couldn't come to work for about 3 weeks after accepting the job in early December. So I went up and spent a week with him with the Browns. He was the I don't think he was the offensive coordinator. I believe he was the quarterback's coach on Bill Belichick's staff. And when I got up there, I thought, well, this is going to be a waste of time. I'm standing outside the locker room and whatever. But no, Bill Belichick allowed me to come in, sit through team meetings, not team meetings, coaching meetings. I sat through a coaching meeting one day, and he couldn't have been nicer. And, of course, had great things to say about Rod Dowhower. We now know that's because he was so happy to be getting rid of him, I guess. But to your point, he was so candid and really just wide open. And of course, this was before, Belichick was just another NFL coach back then. And good coach, obviously, because he took the Browns to the deep into the playoffs. But
right.
This was before the legend had developed. But, yeah, great guy, like you said. So I think it's just a matter of getting to him. And then once you get to him, he's pretty good.
No, he was absolutely wonderful talking to us, and it was great. Now, closer the last several years, Super Bowl connections, Golden Tate at Pope John Paul, who was an amazing athlete there. He went to Notre Dame. He won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks in 2013. Yep. This year we've got the connections of Dante Hightower. Of course, he's out for the season, played at Marshall County. We got Shaq Mason for the Patriots, went to Columbia Central. He won a Super Bowl last year. And then Derek Barnett, the Eagles connection
Barnett,
here. So,
yeah,
there's a nice little thing there. I mean, he went to Brentwood Academy. So it's good. I love to see these guys when they attain that level and play on football's highest stage.
Yeah, that. And then, you have to mention Jim Schwartz. I know you said you're kind of not talking about the Titans. Jim Schwartz is a Nashvilleian. And, it's good to see. And everybody loves Jim. So to see him in the Super Bowl with the Eagles is also cool.
Yeah, I was hoping secretly that Jim would get the head coaching job here for the Titans because I think he's got a son at NBA and one at Brentwood Academy, if I recall correctly. So
yeah,
he still makes Nashville his home.
Yeah, that says so much about before Nashville. That and the fact that we don't have a state income tax, so all that money he makes doesn't
count. That's right.
I'm sure he likes the country music and, all everything else we have here to offer the Predators and whatever. But, the income tax, that's something people often fail to mention when they talk about athletes and coaches who stay here even after their time here is done.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we let you go, Mike, I want you to be, for those who know who are new to the show, maybe new to Nashville and get into big in the history and stuff, your Facebook, the NIL page, the history of athletics here in Nashville, I'm not saying this because you're on the radio with me. I think that is the best Facebook page around because you have stuff from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I read the comments and what you've done, Mike, with that page. And I don't know why what the genesis was to bring that page together, but, and I said this on a post one time, you united my generation with my brother's generation, with my mother's generation, and you made us all one, man. And I could never thank you enough for all the pictures, posts, and everything you put on that page.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. That's very nice of you to say. It's a lot of fun to do, and you're right. It brings a lot of generations together. And speaking of NFL connections, I found a post a clip last night that I just posted today. You might want to take a look at. And I think it was 1957. There were seven former NIL players, which was the old National Interscholastic League, which now is known just kind of as Metro, playing in the NFL. So you'd be hard-pressed to find any high school athletic program across the country that had seven players in the NFL, I think, at the same time. So, but, yeah, that's a fun page to do, and everybody seems to enjoy it.
I love the fact that when Gruden was talking about a Tampa Bay, it was a Monday Night Football, Tampa Bay and Atlanta, he said this guy was deaf or Tampa. He's like, that's the first deaf football player in NFL history, whatever. And almost immediately, you had the guy, was he at Lytton High School or Madison? That was the first.
Bonnie Sloan from Lytton, who doing well, living in Hendersonville. And Bonnie Sloan was the first deaf football player in the NFL in 1974.
That was amazing. I mean, it was almost immediate. You had that on the page.
Now, Gruden should have said the first offensive player, the first deaf offensive player in the NFL because Bonnie played linebacker. But, no, that I was looking for a lead for my column that week, and Gruden just kind of laid it out for me, just kind of spoon-fed me that one. I thought, well, there you go. he couldn't have been more wrong. So,
that's great. That's great. All right, Mike. Thank you, man. I know I got you on a short notice. Mike, Oregon, Tennessee, and I could talk to you for hours, man. I appreciate your time. Have a good day, brother.
Okay, Joe. You too. Thanks. Bye.